murder. Swerving with my circus, looking for a purpose. Pseudo clean record, hope got another surface.
Welcome to another episode of Culper's Canteen Cup, episode 71. It's the holiday, Halloween edition. I'm just going to give a couple quick shout-outs. Thanks again to Carlton Zeus for letting us use your music. Check them out on Apple Music or at www.carltonzeus.com. I also want to give another quick shout-out to one of our loyal, maybe not so loyal listeners. I don't know how often he listens, but Bud McFadden just came back from Georgia to do a little house hunting for my daughter and visit or attend his retirement ceremony. The guy did 25 years in the Army, and I think it's got to be his last 10 or 12. He did, I think he did like 3 or 4 years as a recruiter, maybe even more than that, maybe like 5 years as a recruiter. And then, another like decade as a career counselor, what have you. So 25 years, loyal service, Army definitely got a little bit poor with him retiring, but, I guess he's going to open up an ice cream shop, out there in Georgia. So, hey man, good on him, man. Living the life stress-free. Come in, do some soft serve. And I'm sitting here looking at Luke. So we got Halloween coming up. He's wearing his Eyes Wide Shut mask. I'm not sure if I'm turned on or scared. So hopefully no kids are watching this on the YouTube episode. So I'll kick it over to Luke real quick. Let's find out what his Halloween plans are.
Well, I think it's the same as the rest of us. We've got a bunch of kids in the community coming by in about an hour and a half. They're just going to do some trick-or-treating. But the story with the mask, which I'm going to have to take off because it keeps bumping into the microphone, is, we were going to do a Marine Corps ball in Slovenia. The ambassador was all excited about it, and she was going to do a Venetian theme, and she was going to go all out, man. It was going to be crazy. So we went ahead and bought all the stuff. And then COVID just hit. So we have all this like Venetian, we have these capes and these masks and hats, you know, we're going to do this kick-ass Marine Corps ball / Venetian carnival type thing. And it just all fell through. So another thing is I bought some fairly high quality Lederhosen, and Michelle bought the Drendel. We were going to go to Oktoberfest in Munich. We were really looking forward to it. And then COVID hit and they canceled Oktoberfest for the first time in like forever. So, but the good news is, as I'm about to take this mask off, is that at least I'll always have two Halloween outfits, you know, my Oktoberfest Lederhosen, which are really nice, and my Venetian mask here. But just trick or treaters. I always go overboard on giving kids candy. I don't know. I get a kick out of that. Just give them handfuls and handfuls of that stuff and let their parents deal with them later. But, you know, people in the community were complaining, Josh, about, well, Halloween's on a school night, so could we please back it, trick-or-treating up to October 30th? It's like, okay, all right. So out of the 7 years where Halloween is on a school night, Halloween's only good for when it's on Friday or Saturday night. Did we... When I was growing up, Josh, we trick-or-treated Monday night, Tuesday night. It didn't matter, man. We went to school the next day and traded candy, you know?
Yep, the same. Our neighborhood was like, hey, should we do it on Saturday night or actually do it on the 31st? And I don't think anyone that was above the age of like 25 voted to do it on Saturday night on the 30th. Or, you know, most people above the age of 30, they were like, no, the 31st is Sunday night, so trick-or-treating is Sunday night. It's just, it is what it is, you know, so we're probably going to have, you know, the little ones come out, fairly early, so mom and dad can get them, you know, get a little bit of sugar in them and give them time to come down from that high before they got to, you know, start bath time and bedtime and, you know, trying to put Genie back in the bottle. We got a little over an hour before we start getting inundated with trick-or-treaters. Plus, a lot of folks drive from other areas because we live on the edge and just right outside our neighborhood. You really get into the rural area, so a lot of folks come into our neighborhood from outside to trick-or-treat.
Josh, did Facebook give you a trick or a treat today?
They did not give me a treat. It's a treat for sensitive people because sensitive people won't be able to see my post for another 30 days. Oh, and you know what's crazy is that was in a group literally named Offensive Memes.
What? Like,
that was literally in a group titled Offensive Memes.
What did you post?
It was a picture of Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, that says three commies down. That was it. That was literally all I posted, just that picture. And I literally posted it less than an hour ago.
And that's what they do, right? They join these groups. That's what it's about. You know, the Karens of the world join these groups just so they can go in there and report it because it's stuff that they don't agree with or they don't like. You know, and it's funny because the, I don't know if you guys heard the whole Southwest pilot that came on. And
yeah.
The timing was actually perfect. So I flew out to Georgia, and on the way out to Georgia, I wore my Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. And it was great because I flew Southwest, and I can tell you that probably it had to be at least 5 or 10 working staff from Southwest asked me, like, hey, you know, what's with the Let's Go Brandon thing? I kind of gave them a little background, however, you know, this is what it means. And every one of them chuckled, like every single one. And I believe it was like a genuine chuckle. It wasn't like a, oh, yeah, okay, how nice or whatever. But and then even like yesterday, I flew back and had my FBJ shirt on, and the wheelchair guy from Southwest came up and gave me a little fist bump or whatever. So it kind of amazing that the timing on that thing. But now people are talking, well, you know what, the pilot, now whether he should have said it or whatever, you know, but they're like, oh, we're going to boycott Southwest and this and that. But I tell you what, had they come out and said something anti-Trump or anti-GOP or anti-Republican, they'd have been all about it, right? So I guess the moral of this story here is hopefully Josh has gone ahead and signed up for the beta. What's the Trump platform going to be called? Like Truth Speak or what the hell is this?
Something Truth. True,
yeah, something. Yeah, something Truth. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Yeah, so hopefully Josh has gone ahead and signed up for the debate on that, because I don't think I think your days on Facebook might be numbered, right? Kind of like one of our buddies who can no longer rent from Hertz. That's kind of going to be you on Facebook and your ability to post.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I think this is like 30-day ban number like 5 or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, Josh, by the way, is the social media czar here in the cup. And
so you are clearly, yeah, he is just as effective as Pete Buttigieg being the Secretary of Transportation. So I'm going to go ahead and become the Secretary during a time of crisis, and then we'll take, I like Luke's term, Pete-ternity leave, and just not be able to do my job. So congratulations, Josh. You should go get a job with the administration there.
Hey, maybe I'll be back. I'll be back just in time to promote our new website on social media.
Well, now that you have all this extra time on your hands, since you're not managing social media, you can just start up the website.
Okay. That's fine.
And you notice did our last episode about Pete Buttigieg, and they're like, oh, you know, we don't listen to any of that stuff. And what happened? It wasn't like 2 days later, good old Pete was on TV giving his, you know, press conference or whatever. And I'm just like, guys, you see this stuff. I mean, come on.
You know, let's just jump right in. Let's just jump right in right now. So I don't know what I was looking at. You know, I peruse Twitter a little bit, look at, you know, Reddit and stuff like that. And I'm seeing all this poopy pants, Joe Biden, poopy pants. You know, this is the guy that, you know, this is the Marine in charge of, you know, Joe Biden's Depends and baby wipes. And I was like, what is going on? And apparently, so Josh, I sent a message to you guys, and I was like, did Joe Biden poop his pants in the Vatican? Because I was like, well, what's going on here? And Josh immediately replied back with, yes, he did. What time are we recording today? So Josh, what's the background of that? Because, apparently I'm like a week behind the news on this one. I didn't realize Joe Biden did poopy pants at the Vatican in front of the Pope.
So I didn't hear about it. I saw somebody, you know, post about it in one of our chat groups. And so apparently Jack Posobiec on Twitter, who is very well connected inside the Biden White House, and Jack Posobiec's very well connected, you know, inside DC, period, posted that he was getting from his sources that while meeting with the Pope, Joe Biden may have, may his britches may have gotten a little soggy, And he may have had a little leakage. And it's funny, so soggy. So I'm going to do a real quick tangent. There's this kid in my high school who pooped his pants one day in class, and he didn't have time. Like, we were in the middle of a test or something like that, but he couldn't get up and go to the bathroom, or he chose not to get up and go to the bathroom to take care of it. And when he finally got up, like you could see his pants in the back, they were wet. And they were kind of sagging a little bit right there, in the middle. And so he got the nickname Soggy, and everybody called him Soggy. So apparently Joe Biden, for some reason, I guess I was reading where, they carry, in addition, I guess, to the, to the nuclear football, they carry a change of clothes for the president, around, when he's close by, stuff like that, which before he departed the Vatican, he had to make a detour to the restroom so he could change clothes. I don't know, so I saw somebody say like, holy shit. I kind of thought that was funny. A little dad joke there, pooping in the Vatican. It's a holy shit for sure. It should not be surprising to anybody. The guy barely knows what day it is. Not only can grandpa not, form a coherent thought and translate that into words, he's literally shitting himself. The president of the United States is literally shitting himself, while he's meeting with foreign leaders, not that it's good anytime, but especially when you're meeting with foreign leaders. Yeah. I 81 million people, man. 81 million people. Yeah. That's all you can say about that, I guess.
I don't know if anybody here in the cup should be casting stones at Joe Biden for crap in his pants. I mean, on the list of problems I have with Joe Biden, I'll kick it to Roger. Him pooping his pants in front of the Pope is actually, in my book, yeah, I get it. It's a totality of everything. He can't speak straight. He does the jetpack. The cornholio thing with Anderson Cooper, plus he poops his pants. Incontinent old man. But if we're just taking pooping pants, and I'll get into this later, maybe Roger wants to get into it, I'll give him a pass on this one if this is the only time.
So two things. One, I give any man a pass on pooping their pants, because sometimes, man, it just happens, dude. It just happens. You sit there and you're just like, yeah, well, I guess there's a difference, right? There's a difference between like you have the runs and it's hot and you're just like, you got bubble guts and it just comes out. You're just trying to relieve some pressure, little bubble guts, and it just comes out. It's like, oh crap, that's a mistake, right? Versus like actually like Josh's buddy, which I'm kind of wondering if Josh was actually soggy pants, but taking a dump in your pants is totally different from having like the bubble guts and then having the runs and you're trying to let a little pressure out there. And the next thing you know, it's Old Faithful. So, I give him a break on that. My question is like, and this is where my line comes with, I mean, everybody knows that listens to this. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. His policies suck. His presidency is horrendous, but it's like, did it really happen? Like if it really happened, I have no issues with it. But if people are just making up shit, it's just like anything else. Like you're making up crap and then people are just spewing it and throwing it around or whatever. I guess the other question is, what's the over under on Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki on Monday if he actually crapped himself? That right there is going to be telling, because if somebody because Peter Ducey is the only one that's going to ask that kind of question. If he asked that question, then yeah, he absolutely did it. He absolutely did it. But if they just kind of skirt over that and don't even bother to bring it up. So I don't know, Josh, what do you think the over under on Peter Ducey asking Jen Psaki if President Biden crapped his pants in front of the Pope are?
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow.
Good answer, Josh. Good answer. Way to go out on a limb on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's true or not. Peter Ducey may ask, he may not ask. I don't know. I think there's more. I think there's more important questions that Peter Ducey should be asking. Right? You're right. There's a difference between I'm just going to go ahead and poop myself. Aside from, hey man, I really got to, dude. man, I gotta let some gas out. Then you're like, oh, nope, stop, stop. You know, because we've all had that too. You know, but then again, the three of us are president of the United States either. You know, if this guy was out, you know, dude, if this guy was out, you know, crushing it, you know, domestically and crushing it, you know, on the international stage, and he was, you know, he was visiting somewhere and just got a hold of some bad street tacos or something like that, you know, and it's just like, hey man, I got the bubble guts, you know, I got wound up with dysentery or something. Like I could understand that. We were like, oh dude, who has that happened to before? But bro, that's not, you know, that is absolutely not the case with them.
So when was the last time you pooped your pants, Josh?
Oh, let's see. I'm trying to think. It was on a deployment. Let's see. It was on a deployment. I would have to say it was probably Somalia. So
that was the last time? No way.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably the last time.
How many years ago was that? That had to be what? Like,
dude, that was like six years ago. Man. Seven years ago. Yeah,
I'm clearly ahead of the curve on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I generally don't. You know, I try not to make it a habit to poop my pants. You know, so it just happens sometimes. So we went somewhere. And we had to eat on the economy, right? So we had to eat out in town in Mogadishu, which, you know, when you eat anywhere in Africa, like, it's a roll of the dice. That's an automatic, like, hey, you are taking chances. You know, when they ask you, how would you like your steak done? You're like, burn it. Like, I want my steak well done in Africa. There is no, you know, normally I'm a medium rare guy, generally on the dark continent. Go ahead and get that thing well done. You won't go wrong. But it had soup. It was like lentil soup or some type of soup. And I knew I shouldn't have, but I was so hungry and I was like, I'm doing it anyway. Because I also had like a bottle of Cipro. So I was like, you know, dude, so I smashed some Cipro beforehand and afterwards. I was like, I'll be good. And I remember laying in bed one night and thank the good Lord decided that he was not going to allow me to completely embarrass myself because he woke me up in the middle of the night. And I was like, oh man, it's like, dude, something gave me gas. And I started to, and that split second where you're like, you know, you kind of like roll over on one side and you're like, man, I'm gonna let this one go. And then you're like, oh God, no. And so it's like clenched butt cheeks and you're like, immediately your legs are coming off the rack and you know, you're trying to, you know, run to the shitter chew, try with clenched butt cheeks and, you know, and man, when I got in there, it was it was not pretty. But before I got there, it was already happening. Like it was just like, dude, you can either you can squeeze as hard as you want, man, but you're not going to stop it from coming out. So I had a little accident. Luckily, it wasn't in my, you know, on my bed or my mattress or anything like that. But the real so. That was the last time, but probably the best time, like when it was, there was no hiding it. Everybody knew what happened. Like there was a lot of, you know, there was like public people involved, was when I was in Bolivia and, we were way south of Santa Cruz, Bolivia, down near this little town called Camiri. And some of the guys that we were working with from the Bolivian military, they're like, hey, do you guys want to see, we were driving back to Santa Cruz the next day. Because the, you know, mission was complete and, they were like, hey, do you guys want to go see where they captured Che and shot him, you know, at that school. Cause it was not, you know, it was probably like a 2-hour drive from there, but it was kind of on the way back and we were like, absolutely 100%. And, so we get out there and, we, you know, it was early, we had to leave early to, you know, have time to do it. So had, you know, breakfast and we took off out there. Well, we didn't get lunch, because we, you know, we went to see the place where Che got shot and everything. And so this guy's, you know, talking to us. We're like, dude, we are starving, man. Is there somewhere to eat? He was like, yeah, there's a place up here. Don't worry about it. You know, it's got the best soup, right? So soup again. So soup, it's kind of like, I should know better than to do this. So we pull up and these guys pulled over the side of the road and I'm looking for the restaurant. Like I'm looking around. I'm like, where are we at? Like we're in the middle of the jungle. And I was like, is this like, are we about to get murdered out here? Like what is going on? And he's like, no, he was like, it's right here. And I look over and it's three sides are tin, right? And it's all that old, like old corrugated tin, like your grandma had on her, you know, on her roof. And it's rusted. There's holes in it. It looks like the bed of my dad's, you know, 1979 F-150 pickup truck, you know, where the bed meets the cab. It was rusted through. And you can see the drive shaft spinning while he's going down the road. And there's like one plastic table, a couple of plastic chairs. There's some chickens running around on the dirt floor. And then like half of it is divided by this old like bed sheet, this old dirty bed sheet. And there's a lady back there with a pot over an open fire. And I was like, dude, there's like what? Like we're not eating here. Like we can't eat here. And he was like, no, dude, it's the best. It's great. You're going to love it. And at that point I was like, I decided I was so hungry. I didn't care. I did not care. That turned out to be a very bad, very bad mistake. So we got on up to Santa Cruz and the guy I was with, we were like, you know, got to the hotel, checked in, got showered up. We're like, hey man, let's go out to eat and let's go find a proper meal, you know, something good Latin American, like some, you know, some fried chicken and some potatoes cut up, you know, fries and stuff like that. So we go to this restaurant and I'm sitting there and like probably like 30 minutes into dinner, I was like, ooh, man. Hey dude, I'll be right back. So I get up, go to the bathroom, like nothing good happens. And I was like, just start sweating. Like I'm sweating. Dude, I look like Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter. Like I am sweating. And I come back to the table. I was like, man, I don't feel good, dude. I was like, I think I'm going to go back to the hotel. He's like, no, man, we're going to go to a bar afterwards and hang out. I was like, ah, man, it's like, I'm not feeling it. And like mid sentence, like I had to get up and go again. And I was like, hey, I got to go. Like, you go do what you want, but I have got to go back to the hotel. And so the hotel's, you know, it's a couple of blocks. And by this time, like I'm freezing cold. Before I was, you know, just like I was dying. I was sweating so bad, hot. Now I'm cold. I was like, oh, dude, this is all bad. And I get within sight of the hotel. I can see it. And Mr. Bowel voice comes up on the net and is like, you have 30 seconds and 20 are gone. And so like, I do the clenched butt cheek. Like I start walking faster. And I realize that no matter how fast I walk, I'm not going to make it. Like it's just not going to happen. And so I was like, if I run, maybe I can make it. So I start running, which you can't clench your butt cheeks and run at the same time. You can't do it. So I am running and it all comes out. Like I am running up the stairs, you know, through the courtyard of this hotel. Like I'm running toward the door and the, you know, the bellhop's out there and he's like, oh, good evening, you know, sir. And I'm like, open the door. And like, it, dude, I look like a dirt bike going through mud, right? Like it's coming, like, you know, it's flicking up off my heels. Like it has come down the inside of my legs, like through my jeans. Oh, like man. It is bad. I go straight into the lobby and I'm like, donde esta el baño? Donde esta? Like I'm screaming it. And the girl behind the desk has this look of horror and disgust on her face. And she is like, oh, Dios mío, Dios mío. And you know, she's like trying to point me to the bathroom. I make it into the bathroom and I stay in there probably for like an hour, partly because like I can't stop going to the bathroom. And the other part of like just sheer embarrassment, right? I was like, I can't come out. Like I'm gonna die in this bathroom. Like I'm gonna stay in here until I die because I can't come out. It's
been a good run.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably my most memorable one.
The demon right there, dude. That's the demon, and the demon is coming with a chainsaw, a stick of dynamite, and the jaws of life. The demon's getting out, dude. Yeah. Brutal. Yeah. Man.
Yep. And anybody, and you know what? Some of you folks may have already heard that story. If you bought the book and read it, you heard that one. Oh, that's definitely my most number one.
It's funnier to hear you tell it, though. I mean, because the story is good, but listen to you tell it's even better.
It was bad, man. Those clothes, I literally stripped down to just my underwear. Like I washed my underwear off. Like I, you know, wore my t-shirt and I carried my shoes and everything like up to my room. I threw those clothes in the trash. Like they did not leave Bolivia with me. And then, you know, the next day we're flying back to Miami and it's like a 7.5-8 hour flight. And so like the whole flight, like I asked a person that was sitting next to the restroom. I was like, "Hey man, you want to trade seats? Like I'm going to be in here a little bit." And he was like, "No, this is my seat." Right. And I was like, "All right, fine." And so like, I literally just go stand next to the bathroom door. Like I just stand there because it was like, dude, I can't sit down because I'm going to be getting up, you know, every 5 minutes. And finally, like, I busted ass and it smelled like death. Like it straight smelled like death. And everybody probably within like 3 or 4 rows of the bathroom, they were like turning around. They're like, what is that? And finally that guy was like, just take my seat. And he got up and went and found mine. I was like, thanks, brother.
Dude, Roger, I'm not going to tell my story. I want to give a shout out to one of our faithful listeners and tell one of his real quick. Our boy Scott is a freaking legend, dude. He's just a legend when it comes to stories like this. And we probably should have had him as a guest this time because, man, this guy, he used to carry in his car a special knife and scissors. So he was on a road trip. It was inevitable. Once every dozen times or so, he'd crap his pants and he kept this pair of scissors where he'd pull over and he'd cut his underwear off. He carried an extra pair of underwear. But he was, when he joined the Army, he was a medical equipment repair technician, a highly, highly, high skill type job. And the AIT for that was almost 2 years long. Because, you know, they repaired, like x-ray machines and MRIs and, you know, the machines that do the spectrometers and things like that. So when he was in this school in Aurora, Colorado, he was and Scott has bad gas anyway, dude. I mean, it's fucking brutal. In fact, last time I was up in Oklahoma City, he was busting ass in the car. And I was like, oh, God. You know, and I was talking to my daughter and he would just lift up and just bust right in the car. And I'm like, God. And he would say, man, what's your problem? They don't smell that bad. And I was like, yes, God, Scott, it was awful. He couldn't smell his own farts. And that's how he knew he had COVID. But anyway, so he's in Aurora, Colorado. He's going through this school and he develops really bad gas. And it was so bad that the instructors were going to kick him out of the school and make him like go get another MOS because like it was a small class and he buzzed ass and it was like, get out, Scott, get out. And they like put a desk out in the hall for him and stuff. And he just couldn't figure it out. And he was, the demon was coming like every day. And it was so bad that he was starting to chafe down there, you know, real bad. And you know, wow. he'd go to the commissary, wow, or the PX, the little shopette, and he'd get like some plastic gloves, you know, the ones you do dishes with, and like a thing of Vaseline, and he'd go into the showers and just like help himself out. You know, I mean, it was so bad. Well, basically, and they were like, this is a problem, you know, this is a real problem. Well, he finally realized that every morning before he went to class, every single morning in the chow hall, he'd have like 2 bowls of cereal. Every morning with milk. And basically he found out, luckily, before getting kicked out, that he was lactose intolerant at that time. And so, yeah, as soon as he cleared it up and, you know, went back to normal Scott, which is still pretty bad. Guy's a legend, man, a legend. So Roger, you know, I think what started all this was you messaged us the other day with a special little message. We're like, oh, dude, we got to talk about this on the next one.
Well, yeah, I sent a message to the fellows here, and it was like, hey, I'm not proud of myself today. I just crapped myself. And my, you know, and then I'm sitting across from my wife because we work in the office together, and you know, we get up in the morning and we have our routine. I pound a couple glasses of water. She drinks her coffee, and we kind of, you know, you do your morning pleasantries or whatever. And then it was just like that look And she just kind of looked at me and I was just, and you know what I'm talking about, Jess. Like, you were talking about like, hey, I'm just going to let a little bit of gas and relieve some pressure. And you're like, oh, and she just saw it. She's like, what's happening? I'm like, I got to go. Yeah. It was already too late, man. It was already too. And I had, here's a scary thing. Like, I have no idea where it came from. It just came out of nowhere. I just sat there. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? We're in the office. I'm going to rip one. And you know, the wife's over here. She'll smell it. It'll be all funny and everything. And yeah, dude, you know, I don't know. I don't know what she put in my water or whatever it was, but I'm like, I got to go. Got to the bathroom. It was already too late. It was already happening. And, you know, handle my business and everything. Well, then of course, you know, it's like, I tell you guys, cause it's like, hey, you know, at this age, there's very little that embarrass you, right? We've done so much stupid stuff in our life. I'm just happy to still be around to be able to, you know, do stuff like that. But it's, I come out, man. And my dad, you know, my boy, he's like, dad, you really crap yourself? And I'm like, you know, so now I was like, no, I didn't. I'm like, your mom crapped herself and she's trying to blame it on me. So then it was a race, you know, it's like my daughter gets home. I'm like, oh, guess what your mom did today? She crapped herself. But I mean, you know, my kids know me, they know me. So they're like, so my daughter's like, so you crapped yourself, dad. I'm like, yeah, but you know, in all seriousness, it's like you try to be funny about it. But it's also a learning point to my kids. It's like, hey, man, there's a lot of bad things that can happen to a lot of people. And in the grand scheme of things, crapping myself ain't one of them. You know what? It's not the first time I've crapped myself. Ain't going to be the last time I've done it. You know, hopefully she's, you know, she's not doing like assisted living or assisted care if I crap myself and has to, you know, actually clean myself up or whatever. But, you know, it's, I think the worst one I've had was, and I don't know, ever tell you when I did it at the recruiting station? Yeah, dude. Now that was bad. So I actually had to call my wife.
That wasn't a recruiting episode.
Yeah, I don't know if we did or not, man. I was sitting there one day and I was in dress B's, right? Or class B's or whatever. So ribbons and all that crap. And I'm sitting there kicked back. And it's just another one of those, man, I don't know where it came from. It's like, oh, got to go. Haul to the bathroom. Business was already happening. You know, probably not as bad as Josh's incident, but you know, business is already happening. Thank God in the bathroom we had one of those, the hand dryers, the blowers, because I probably spent about 45 minutes in there washing my pants out, trying to dry them up there. I had to call my wife. I'm like, hey, man, you got to bring me some pants. She's like, you crap yourself again? I'm like, just bring me some daggum pants, all right?
Dude, I confronted, you know, you have these fears in life. You know, it's like, oh, I hope this never happens to me. I don't know how I'll handle it. And from a young age, actually, one of my fears was the demon coming, like when I'm in a, you know, standing in front of a big group of people, you know. And then when I joined the Army, that got even worse, because the first year and a half I was in the Army, dude, all we did was like drill and ceremony, change of command, pass and review, all this nonsense at Fort Carson. And I would have this fear that the demon was going to hit me. Like when I'm in a regimental formation and I'm going to have to break ranks or, you know, poop my pants, you know, or just sweat and hold it in. And I'm one of these fortunate people that confronted their fear in a company change of command as, you know, a young specialist, you're trying to do everything perfect. And I told Chief Garcia, this is a typical warrant officer, man. And I got to hand it to warrant officers, Josh. I mean, this was exactly what a warrant officer should do. I came to him before the ceremony. I was like, Chief, I don't feel good, man. Can I sit this one out? And Chief Garcia is like, well, of course you cannot. You're going to stand in formation. I'm like, Chief, dude, it's not going to be good. And he's like, nope, you're going to stand in formation. Of course, the warrant officer is not in formation with us. He's up in the stands looking down. And it's in this gym at Fort Carson. And man, it hits. And I'm like, oh, and I'm in the first squad and I'm just like, you know, veins bulging out. I'm literally sweating. And I'm like, I cannot break ranks because the new company commander will see me. You know, first sergeant's going to see me. You know, So I sat there the whole time and I'm looking in the stands and Chief Garcia is sitting there just smiling at me in the stands. It's like, Yeah, well, I didn't break ranks, man. It was awful, dude. But that's what a warrant officer should do, you know. But he knew that I was confronting my greatest fear right there. So the time I crapped my pants, well, is the one that stands out is Afghanistan. You know, I was in the office alone writing reports at like 3 in the morning. And, you know, I just raised that cheek, you know, 34.5 semi-flaccid style, raised that cheek, and I fart, and it was like silk heat coming out. It was like, it was straight heat. And I was like, oh man, wow, that was a really hot fart. And so I go back to type in my reports, and I marvel for a moment how hot the fart was. It was like, oh man. And I go back to type in, and my pants start to turn cold. I was like, it was, but that was amazing. It was like white hot silk coming out. I was like, wow, I've never had a fart like that before. Yeah, that's so bad, so, dude. We've all been there. Liquid. We've all been there.
It's all liquid. Yeah. I have one in Afghanistan. So, but the first time I remember pooping my pants, we were in Kosovo, first deployment, right? I'm a private, and so I'm the driver, and it was during the summer, and Luke's been there, and Luke, now it's like anywhere else, you know, Roger, you Bosnia during the summer, like, dude, it's just it's hot and humid, it's oppressive. You're like, now I know why everybody who lives here is angry. If I had to live here, I'd be angry too. You know, the whole country smells like burning trash because, you know, they just dump it on the side of the roads and set it on fire. And I was hot, and we had those old flak vests, like the old school flak vests before, you know, body armor was a thing. And I remember being so hot and sweating, and I had the run so bad, like so bad. And so I've run down. What is that?
I have no idea.
What is
that? That was a little strange.
You're right.
What was that?
Hey, man, it's our new platform, Zencaster. It's kind of catchy, though.
It was kind of catchy. I was there for a second. I was like, this isn't bad. Like, you know, we got some background music to this. This is.
I was feeling a little at ease,
Carlton Zeus there for a second.
I know, man. I was like getting it like all at peace and everything. I was like, oh, hell.
Yeah. Oh. Dude, we were out, man. We came back, and I remember, you know, it's like Chief wanted to be dropped off, you know, next near our tent so he could put his stuff up before he walked up to the office and stuff like that. But the porta potties weren't near our tents. They were on the other side of the LSA. Dude, I drove straight to the porta potties, and he's like, where are we going? I was like, I got to go. He was like, but that's not where the tents. I was like, I got to go. And dude, from as soon as I put that thing in park, I was out, and it was just a trail of gear. It was like ballistic helmet, like vest, like LBE, all the way to the porta potty. And the porta potty, dude, it was so hot in there, man. It was so hot that I sat there and I propped the door. I took my leg straight out and like had the door open. So I had a little bit of air, and people are like walking by, and I'm in there, and it's just all the noises, like all the noises. Any noise you could associate with it, it was that noise. And people were like, oh my God, shut the door. I'm like, I'm dying. I can't.
You know, when you're telling your Bolivia story, it reminds me, did y'all ever check, and I'm sure it's happened multiple times, but I think I was growing up, maybe it was in the 90s or something like that, where the marathon runner, that lady, had the craps and started crapping mm-hmm. down her legs, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about stuff flinging up, dude. It looked like a flock of geese because every woman behind her was like, whoop.
Yeah. Out of the sock.
Oh. Oh. Dude, that reminds me of Topps Trots, man. The first sergeant that we had that every time we'd go on a company run, she would, she'd stop. Yeah. Should we say her name?
You can use her first name. You can use her first
Renee.
Name.
Renee. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Renee, she was our first hard charger, man. And she loved to run because she was a good runner. And she'd take us, never failed though. When we'd go on a company run, you know, running around Fort Bragg, she would run us up to a porta potty. She would go inside and do her business, man. And one time she brought us a little too close to the porta potties and we heard her ripping it apart, man. It sounded like a chainsaw in there. And we started cutting up and laughing. And from inside, Josh, I think you were there, from inside the porta potty. You think that's funny?
Yep.
And she started smoking us, man. Front, back, go, sitting on a porta potty, smoking the company while she laid waste to the porta potty. She was a hard charger, man. She didn't care. I respect that, man. She was all right.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, you get the point, though, man. It's like you get the point. I mean, that was like the only time that I came close to failing a PT test was I thought I was going to hit the porta potty. You know, and it was one of my, you know, one of my last ones that I took before I retired. Because for those that don't know, when you take your physical training test, if you leave the track, right, it's an automatic fail. And dude, I got like a mile and a quarter into it, and I'm just like, it's getting ready to happen. It is on like Donkey Kong. And there was, it was worse because like the Porta Johns were out probably, you know, typically 30, 40 yards off the track. So I mean, I could see them, and I'm just like, I'm staring at them. I'm just like, you know, and the bad thing is this, and this is why they need to change that policy, because I could have taken a crap, come back and still passed. But no, because you leave the track, you automatically fail. But I get, you know, I was like, dude, I'm going to do one more lap, man. I'm going to do one more lap. And I was, you know, I slowed down a lot because like Josh said, it's hard to clinch and run at the same time. So I'd slowed down. I was kind of doing a little airborne shuffle, you know, sweating and everything. And thank God I came around like the one lap or whatever. And then it just went away.
Dude,
went away.
Isn't it amazing how the anus has like radar? It has radar, dude, because you know you have to go, and the closer you get to that toilet, it's like pinging that toilet. Ping. One ping only. And it knows when you're going. And like it's crazy, and you do the move. I wish my camera, you do the move where you come to that toilet, you turn around, and you pull your pants down and sit at the same time. That's the move. Where you pull the pants down, sit at the same time, and boom, it goes. Because the anus knows, man. It knows. It has that radar. It's crazy. And anybody who's had the trots knows, man, knows the move.
One and efficient it's smooth. Move.
One
That's
efficient
right. move.
They so should, you know, yeah, go ahead.
You think we're gaining any listeners on this episode?
I guarantee. But people are laughing.
I was just about to say, like, dude, people are going to get like 5 minutes into this episode and they're going to turn on. They're going to be like, this is really shitty.
Literally. Well, you know what? I'll actually be impressed if somebody hangs around to the 42-minute mark because, you know, we normally start off and we shoot the crap a little bit and then, you know, no pun intended, and we move on to topics or whatever, and then somebody's going to eventually sit here and be like, man, I just listened to 40 minutes of these guys talking about crapping themselves. But you know what? It's happened to you too, so don't judge. And you know what? It will happen again, and I just hope That's it doesn't right. happen. As a matter of fact, for you haters out there, I hope it does happen while you're driving listening to this. I hope it does happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Does.
You know, our audience is getting big enough to where somebody's going to be listening to this, driving to work and have an attack. And they may not crap their pants, but, you know, get the sweat on and all that stuff, pull over at the Wawa or something. Man.
Oh, yeah. Next time it happens, matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. The next time it happens to one of us three, once that feeling comes on, once you start sweating, you have to live stream. The minute the first bead of sweat comes down, you got to hop on here. We'll live stream it. All right.
Hilarious.
We'll document it. So.
Hilarious. Well, I'm glad it didn't happen to me the other night. I managed to shout out to Mike and Camille in Atlanta for taking care of me and getting me a ticket to Game 3 of the World Series.
That was badass, dude.
Dude, I've been to a lot of Braves games. I have never been to a World Series game, and I can tell you, the electricity in the stadium. Yeah, and they won. The electricity in the stadium was unlike any other game I've ever been to. It was absolutely amazing. We didn't even sit down for the game. We stood our seats the entire time, and everybody did. And it was kind of cool because we were in the outfield. It was kind of like sitting in the student section at a college football game or something. It was, you know, there was no less than, you know, probably two or three guys, you know, folks out there that were, you know, escorted out for being, way, way too intoxicated. Yeah, man, it was cool. So hopefully they can win the World Series tonight. Games at 8:15. So they win tonight. They win it all. If not, it goes back to Houston. So hopefully they do it at home. And President Trump was at last night's game.
Tomahawk
out there
chop,
doing
right?
the out there doing the tomahawk chop. Yeah, so I'm waiting for all the people to come out and, you know, point out how racist he is for, you know, doing the tomahawk chop.
And they're the originals, right? The Atlanta Braves are the originals that did the tomahawk chop, not Florida State or any of these others, correct?
I don't know. I probably should know that. You know, But I don't know if they did, you know, I don't know if the 1917 Braves, Boston Braves at the time did it when they won the World Series, or if the 1957 Milwaukee Braves, you know, did it when they won the World Series. I'd have to go back and look, but I know they did it. I know the Chiefs started doing it a couple of years ago, and they totally stole it from, you know, from the Braves and Florida State, because they hadn't been doing it up until a couple of years ago. So, but yeah, no, man, it was a good time. The World Series, it was absolutely amazing, and it was super hard, but I stayed strong. I didn't have any beer at the game.
Good for you, man.
That's tough, dude. That's tough. Good on you,
dude. It was really tough. It was even tougher. I've realized I have zero tolerance for like really drunk people. You know, there were some fans around us who were like, you know, super, super drunk, but they were belligerent drunk. They were kind of obnoxious drunk. And you're just like, dude, I have zero tolerance for obnoxious people to begin with, but dude, obnoxious drunk, none, no whatsoever. I will push you out in front of a moving bus. yeah, none. So no, man, it was good. It was fun. Go Braves.
Well, good luck to your Braves tonight. That's super cool. And you know, that's part of what I've missed with sports over the last couple of years, especially with it becoming politicized and this and that, because the last live sporting event I went to was a Carolina basketball game that my wife bought me tickets for. And this was like 3 years ago now. And, you know, it's even better when you're there. They win, you know, they beat Louisville in like a last second shot or something like that. Dude, I mean, it's just incredible, you know, and you have that excitement and it's, I think that's what makes me angry, or made me angry about, like with COVID and then the whole politicizing of a lot of sporting events, because there's just a lot of people out there just naturally wanting to have a good time. And then of course a lot of things get interjected into it and it just takes away a lot of the fun. So it's good to see, you know, this stuff to gradually start to come back. But at first I thought that you Photoshopped that. Then I realized that you don't know how to Photoshop. so I was like, good stuff. So I think let's go around the horn one last time. I think that'll close us out, and then we can get on to trick-or-treating, and Luke can put on his mask. So, Luke, you got any final thoughts?
Not really. I probably will after tonight. I think we have all endeavored to persevere. Next episode, we're going to do what Josh has been wanting to do for a long time, which is we're going to talk about the First Amendment in depth, and we'll go forward from there, and we'll do that next episode. Shout out to the new listeners out there. I know we've got a couple. Shout out to the guys one more time. The Keep Your Powder Dry podcast. Appreciate you guys listening and doing the Lord's work up there in Randall County, Texas. And thanks to Carlton Zeus one more time, Josh.
Yep. Same. Thanks. Thanks for Keep Your Powder Dry, man. Thanks for listening and supporting us. Hopefully we can start getting the Bill of Rights episodes done and out to you. Hopefully it'll be educational on some level. Just a few shout outs, big shout out to Admiral Dave for listening. He's actually going to be stopping by here in a few days to hang out for an evening as he makes his migration back to the great Republic of Texas. Shout out to Tyler up in Virginia listening to us. Shout out to Dan down in Florida, big game down in Florida who's listening to us. And there's a few folks out there who asked not to be named. They have very unique names that they're listening to us for fear of their employers finding out. So you know who you are, man. We definitely appreciate you listening to us, and hopefully you can share our episodes and shows and with your friends who may not know about us. So that's it.
I'm waiting to see if we actually, if somebody gets banned for sharing one of our episodes, you know, much like you get banned for 30 day blocks. I mean, that'd be great for PR. So what's the final call on the Virginia governor race, right? That happens Tuesday. You know, this is Sunday. I'll try to get this thing out before then, but, just real quick, Josh, you think the GOP takes it? You think Youngkin takes it, or McAuliffe wins?
I don't know. I said last time I think McAuliffe was going to pull it out. I still think McAuliffe is going to pull it out. I know Youngkin's drawing big crowds, but, you know, I mean, take a look at the last presidential election. Trump drew, you know, enormous crowds, and, you know, he didn't win. So, you know, I know some people are like, you know, some people are going on crowd size. I'm telling you right now, go back to, you know, last year, crowd size doesn't matter. It's all about who shows up on election day.
And what about you, I'm going to go with Josh. I really hope I'm wrong, but, with all the mail-in stuff, I think that's a big advantage. I hope I'm wrong again, but I'm going to go with McAuliffe. Hope I'm wrong though. And if I am wrong, then that's going to be an interesting podcast. That'll be an interesting bellwether.
Yeah. And I think I want to go with Youngkin because much like Josh said, you got all the hype and the crowds and this and that. But I think when you look at the, when you look at the dynamic of mail-in voting, because from everything that I've heard, and I don't follow the race that closely, but from what I've seen on national news networks and this and that, I mean, McAuliffe has basically just caught a lid for like the last several days. Some controversial stuff has come up. He's like, screw it, I'm not talking to anybody. And it leads me to believe that he knows he's already got the election because of the mail-in votes, right? If you know that you already have 5 million, you know, mail-in votes or whatever it is, you know, they do their math and their stats. And if you know you already have that, there's no more need to get out there and try to convince other folks to show up on election day. So I hope Youngkin wins. I'll be kind of curious to see if it's close. But, you know, I think I'm going to go with you two. I'll jump on the bandwagon there and go with McAuliffe. So I guess it will be an interesting episode, the next one that we kick out, seeing how that Virginia election comes out. So again, thanks to everybody out there for listening to us. Thank you again, Carlton Zeus. Be sure to check him out on Apple Music. Have a safe and happy Halloween. If you come by my house, I'm handing out Red Bulls to all your kids so you can have a grand old time tonight and keep your canteen cups tightly secured.